Senate Bill 54, it's to revise the vote required to authorize a school district bond, and we'll move on with that with the presenter of the bill. Senator Olson, if you're more comfortable right here, that's fine with me. If you'd like to go to the...
If it's acceptable to you, Mr. Chairman, I'll just... excuse me, stay put. Senate Bill 54 is pretty straightforward. I think this is probably the third time that I've had it. First time trying it in the Senate side. Just simply eliminates, I guess, in my mind, a rule by Minari. In my research, I'd just like to make the committee aware that we're one of only seven states that require a supermajority on a revenue bond vote. We have 12 states that require no vote, which I'm not quite sure what they do, but I would imagine that the elected board then, if they deem the project necessary, it's just adopted. You know, it's always been very difficult to change this. The fear always is that the burden will be inappropriately distributed for the long-term payment on the issue, and it certainly is something I believe that needs to be considered. But nonetheless, I think it's important that a majority of individuals be able to determine the direction that a district would take. You know, having said that, one of the real problems I think that there is with the supermajority, and I've followed this in my home district, and it's actually, to me, a little bit frightening, and that is that when an elected board, I feel, gets a majority vote on a project, a lot of times you'll notice that they vote over and over and over and over and over again. That should be five overs, because that's the issue that Hanson County Schools faced. when I was doing a little bit of training, I was in Virginia. This is an anecdotal story, but I visited on the phone with a member of a resident of that district, and we had quite a lengthy discussion. And she was trying to query me as to, well, how can they do that? How can they continue to bring this issue back? And I said, well, they're elected. And they obviously, because they get a majority vote, must feel that the issue is right. So I suppose that's why they do it over and over and over again. We elect school boards to make logical decisions. I think they do, generally, And if they don't, members that maybe don't will be replaced. But I do think it's time, and I guess... I'll be quiet, but I'm going to finish with a quote, because I think the quote speaks volumes. Thomas Jefferson, very succinct when he said in 1809, where the law of the majority ceases to be acknowledged, there government ends. The law of the strongest takes its place, and life and property are his who can take it. I'd urge your support of Senate Bill 54.
Are there any other proponents of Senate Bill 54?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Gene Ank representing the Associated School Boards. I came from a state that didn't have this. We didn't have a minority rule. And so it was a new ground for me when I came here. I couldn't quite understand it. But I did some research on it, and I was told by those who lived a lot longer than I that the way we got to this kind of voting was that during the homestead time, people would move in, and they were rather transient, and then they would move on. And this was a way for those who were established, had land here, were going to stay here, so on and so forth, to protect themselves from passing votes, if for lack of a better way to say it. So I think maybe we've gone beyond that point, and maybe this is something that should be changed.
Thank you, Mr. Ink. Are there any questions of Mr. Ink? Thank you. Any other proponents of Senate Bill 54?
Good morning.
Morning.
Elaine Roberts, South Dakota Education Association. We would just like to go on record in support of Senate Bill 54. I personally have worked school bond issues and know the kind of work it takes to help the community along and have the community involved. And it's been very discouraging for a number of our school districts and our members as they work very hard knowing the needs in the school district and then having the bond issue fail by 59% vote. So and then having to go back. So we also believe that this is an opportunity for you to help school districts, help the kids in this state to have the kinds of facilities that we ought to have in this state. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Any further proponents of Senate Bill 54?
Mr. Chairman, if I may just say that the school administrators have always supported this bill and continue to do so.
Okay, and that is Christy Johnson of the school administrators. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman and committee, I'm Penelope Douglas with the South Dakota Coalition of Small Schools, and I enjoyed Jean's comparison back to the homestead days. I'm thinking, thank goodness we don't live in sod huts. The prospect makes my tiny hotel room look really great. this bill is about the need for buildings. It's about progress. It's about the opportunities that the legislature wants to encourage the local people to offer to their students, or maybe not so much encourage, but simply not discourage the local people from offering these opportunities to their students. It's about South Dakota's bright future. We don't require a supermajority to elect state senators. We don't require a supermajority to elect state representatives. We don't require a supermajority to elect U.S. senators and Congress people. We don't require a supermajority to pass state laws. And so it just doesn't seem like we really need to have it for buildings. This bill, I think, addresses an issue that we're very interested in, and that's what we used to call local control. We don't hear that phrase as much as we used to, and I think I would maybe like to transform that or translate that from local control, which is not maybe my favorite word, but local responsibility. We should see a new era here, and I think other school people other than small schools would agree, a new era of local responsibility, local initiative, and local commitment. And this is part of that. So we'll support the bill and hope you do too.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. Douglas? Seeing none, thank you. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 54?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Education Committee. Diana Miller, registered lobbyist for the ESD Plus 5 school districts. And we are too in support of this particular bill. And we have been for a number of years. I think there's some concerns not only when we do general obligation bonds for a new building, but many schools across the state have to do repairs and such on buildings that are crumbling. And they need to, for safety reasons, whatever, a variety of reasons, they need to go to the taxpayers and the public on a bond issue. And I think we need to be concerned because quality education involves an entire package, not only the programs that you offer, but the facilities in which you're able to learn. And we need to absolutely guarantee that we can create an environment whereby we give the student every opportunity to benefit from public education. So I too would ask that you look at this change and seriously consider looking at some changes in the law. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Any questions? Hearing none, are there any further proponents? Senate Bill 54. Any further proponents? Seeing none, we'll then move to the opponents of Senate Bill 54.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Senators. Ray Christensen, Department of Education and Cultural Affairs. Just a couple comments in reaction to some of what you've just heard. I think there is quite a bit of precedence for more than 50% vote to pass things, and they generally have to do with money. Two-thirds vote is oftentimes the reason. So we do have precedence, certainly in state government and lots of other areas, that have to do with that. A couple points I'd make. One, you've worked very hard in the past on rollback on taxes, 30%, and this obviously is money that 100% of which comes from the local government, so it certainly eats into that. But the main thing that I'd like to point out, and the part that I'd like to say, is that why what's the rationale for having a more than 50% vote? And I think the best argument that can be made is a rational argument that in a 30-year bond issue, you have a commitment for 30 years for lots of people for whom they do not even have an opportunity to vote. In a 30-year period of time, I'm just estimating, but 40-50% of the people who are going to pay that bill didn't have the opportunity to vote. Maybe they didn't live in that district, or they were too young to vote, or for some other reason weren't registered to vote. Lots of possibilities exist of why they would not have had an opportunity to vote. So I think there is a protection built in there, and the protection, as I said before, with the two-thirds kinds of votes, typically has to do with the money issue. I believe that a community, if a building project is needed, the 60% can be done. We've seen it lots and lots of times. So it's not a prohibition. It's certainly not two-thirds, as in many money issues. It does require a little more caution to go beyond the 50%, and I think the primary reason for that is because it's a lot of money for a long time for a lot of people, some of whom did not have an opportunity to make the decision, but they do have to pay the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary Christensen. Any questions of Secretary Christensen? Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Christensen, just taking that argument that people may be ruled or dictated to by not having an opportunity to vote on a particular, that would happen with having to live under a particular administration or having to have exist under a certain set of representation if they were under the age of 18, right? I mean, that's kind of a normal thing. And I guess I'd ask you why you think we're one of just a few states, really, seven states, that would have a supermajority in a bond.
I have not looked at what the other states do, so I wouldn't really be able to say why.
Okay. One more?
Yes.
Go ahead. Do you have any fear that by having districts vote many times, that I do have a fear that you will irreparably damage relationships within a community if that issue is voted on that number of times? You're getting a majority vote each time now.
Yeah. Well, my understanding of the law is that you can't go back with the exact same proposal immediately for another vote. So my belief is that there's been an alteration. Now, generally, I think what happens, and this is maybe a little bit of an oversimplification, so I apologize for that, but generally somebody is unhappy about something. They don't like the location. They don't like the something about the building or the cost of the building or something. And I think that's a way that voters express their feelings about it back to the folks that make the proposal. Now, I understand that in some cases there are other issues too, but so I think there's a reason for doing that. Your question directly about community feelings, I'm sure it does have some impact, and I don't know how to get around that. I mean, even if it were 50% and there was only a 49% vote and you went back again, you could have the same issue. So I think that would be in that case also.
Senator Huttmacher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary Christian, the way I understood what you said was that you felt all funding votes should have a 60%.
I didn't say that. I said we have precedents that some funding, some votes take more than 50%, and they typically are in the area of funding or money.
Okay, well, that was the way I understood it, and I wanted to clarify that, I guess.
Thank you.
So if we have a situation where most of the funding legislation, bond issues, and I know the governor's pushing an opt-out to take over 50% to push it to 60. Since the Supreme Court ruling come down, why would we not increase our general appropriations bill to 60%?
I would say again that, Mr. Chairman, I would say that it is not uniformly that anything that has to do with money is more than 50%. But where we do see situations that there are votes of more than 50%. They typically are financial in nature, and there must be a reason for that. So why a particular one isn't, I really wouldn't be able to answer. Thank you.
Any further questions? I guess there aren't. Secretary Christensen is evidently through. Are there any other opponents? Any other opponents of Senate Bill 54? Any other opponents of Senate Bill 54? Seeing none, we will then move into committee discussion and action. I guess with no further discussion on this, yes, Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that do pass on Senate Bill 54.
Seconded by Senator McIntyre. Any committee discussion? I guess since some of you are still thinking over the bill, not amended, I would address the bill. Might come as quite a surprise to some people as to the way that I will feel about this bill. Secretary Christensen and I have discussed it. I have a real difficult time believing that we need supermajority on a bonding issue. It may have been back when this was started, as Mr. Inc. described, and I'd never heard that description before. I have felt on the majority for a bond issue, 50 plus one, since the day that I came to Pier, that that's what it should be. We've not been able to do it. I remember one of my first years, Representative Larry Lucas and I had an amendment ready to go. Yeah, it was not necessary to use it at that time, and because we were dealing with capital outlay. Let's just look at some of the reasons or rationale, let's call this, why people have felt that we need this. Because we're obligating people for the next 30 years, people that are not living in our community or people not yet born, whatever. However, we have a simple majority that is needed in order to pass a constitutional amendment. We have a simple majority for people electing you and I that come to Pier and spend, let's say, $800 million of tax money that we collect in the state of South Dakota. We have simple majorities that determine, such as in Aberdeen, where they wanted to close schools, where they voted and said, no, don't. They finally, I think, have arrived at the point now where they will be doing that. But things like that affect people for many, many years. Dollars seem to be closer to our hearts, I guess, than some of these other issues that we need to address. When we figure that 37% of the families in a district have children in school, think of the difficulty it is today to address some of the facilities and problems that we have with funding in education. I wonder if maybe we should start thinking about, instead of making things more difficult for education, that maybe we ought to take and try to help them. And I do believe that if we do pass this bill, that it will take and help our schools, and I know that they have been after this for quite a few years. Every year when I get my new profile from the Department of Education, I always go through by school district and I do my unofficial tally of schools that now are levying for capital outlay and schools that are levying for bond redemption. This morning I found that year 2201, and remember I said unofficial because I do it my way. And there are 163 districts that have capital outlay levies. There are 47 school districts out of 175 that are making bond redemption. Now that 47, and I apologize that I did not bring the last 4 or 5 years with me. I do have those, but they aren't in my files here in the Capitol. That has increased some, and as we heard, yes, if the need is important enough, they will pass, and it has been done in some areas. but I'm also very familiar with areas where the need is there for facilities, and they have not been able to get to that. I would be interested someday, and I heard one of the presenters mention that the 59% vote. It would be interesting to me if we had a way to go back and find out how many bond issues did get a majority vote but did not get the 60. Because I think it would show us something. So therefore, I certainly, with times changing, I certainly hope that this bill can pass out of this committee, can also go down to the floor and be passed, and show educators, show education that instead of keep making things more difficult, let's see if we can't take and help that. So with that, are there any other comments on Senate Bill 54?
Just one more.
Yes, Senator Olson.
I apologize, but I do think it's important. Now, Gene,
may I ask Gene a question?
Certainly.
Do you have the updated numbers on the general age of the number of school? I mean, I remember information.
I probably have it. I'm not sure how far up.
I guess the point being is that we have an awful lot of buildings that are really, really beyond their brick and mortar.
I missed your question.
Yeah.
Yes, we have that information.
Okay. That might be, I might like that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any further questions or comments from the committee before we vote? Hearing none, we will then go to voting on Senate Bill 54. We've got a motion. We have a second. Discussion is closed. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Dugard.
No.
Ham.
Aye.
Huttmacher.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Munson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Rose.
Aye.
Six yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill 54 will go with a due pass to the floor, 6-1.